Welcome to the Buckmaster Show. It is Monday, the 14th of November, 2011. I hope you had a fantastic weekend. I am Bill Buckmaster, your host for the Buckmaster Show on KVOI AM 1030, The Voice, Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station, and our simulcast partners, KJAA AM 1240 in Globe and KAPR AM 930 in Douglas. We have live streaming of the show at buckmastershow.com, along with an archive of our previous programs. There's also live streaming at kvoi.com. And the Buckmaster Show continues to grow the opportunity for you to listen to the program anywhere, at any time. The show can be heard at buckmastershow.com. It's also available at TucsonSentinel.com. The Sentinel is Southern Arizona's online news service. And thanks to our new agreement with the Tucson Citizen, the Buckmaster Show is available 24/7 at TucsonCitizen.com. We are live Monday through Friday from noon to 1. Today's lineup, if it's Monday on the Buckmaster Show, that means we start with the political face-off featuring one of two teams of commentators. Each team believes they're the A team. John Munger and Vince Rivago are today's team. At 30 minutes past noon, Bill Carnegie, CEO of the Food Bank of Southern Arizona, will be joining us with some very distressing news about what is awaiting many needy in this community this holiday season. Then we'll close out the show with Dr. Robert Hendricks. Bob Hendricks is the Buckmaster Show contributor on education. We'll be talking about the very limited options facing us in America when it comes to improving our school systems. We encourage you to be part of the conversation. You can call us on the Buckmaster Show live line, 790-2040, and you can email your questions at buckmastershow.com or use the Buckmaster Show Facebook page. If you have a story idea or a particular guest that you would like to hear me interview, we encourage you to contact us. It is the Monday Political Face-Off featuring commentators John Munger, Tucson attorney and former Republican candidate for Arizona governor in 2010. John will be on the Buckmaster Show live line. Vince Rivago, 2010 Democratic candidate for Arizona attorney general, joins me in studio. The Monday Political Face-Off is presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. This is a family-owned and operation. Wonderful group of people over there. 1985 is when they started Moe's, specializing in custom frame mirrors, art for your wall, picture framing, and hanging services and hanging systems. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, next to Copenhagen, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. Vince, good to see you. And John, thanks for being with us.
Good afternoon,
I should say.
Let's begin with former U.S. Surgeon General Richard Carmona, is now a U.S. Senate candidate as a Democrat. What do you think of that, Vince Rivago?
I think it's exciting. I think it's certainly going to shake up the race. There was already one candidate that announced on the Democratic side of the aisle, which was the former state Democratic chair, Don Bivens. But Richard Carmona brings a national profile to the race, former U.S. Surgeon General under George Bush. He's a decorated Green Beret, Vietnam veteran, worked for the sheriff's office as a doctor on the SWAT team, has done search and rescue, of course, as a medical doctor. And what's interesting about him is he's a very independent guy. He's been registered independent for a long time. He agrees, of course, more with the Democrats, which is why he chose to run as a Democrat in this race. But he's fiercely independent as well, which is why he had been a Democrat for so long. And so it's really going to shake up the race to have a national profile. It might even shift some of the resources that are spent here during the presidential election, because anytime you have a top of the ballot race where you have a real mover and shaker that can actually fight for that seat, you're going to see additional resources be spent here in Arizona, and it might actually also have an impact in the presidential race.
John Munger, do you agree with our friend Bruce Ash, who, of course, is one of our political commentators here on the Buckmaster Show, that Carmona brings a lot of baggage to this race? And I think, to quote Bruce, and I don't have the exact quote in front of me, but he does not think he's a very good candidate.
I would agree. I think 2 years ago or 4 years ago, he was talking about running for Congress against Gabby Giffords as a Republican. I sat and talked with him about it and ultimately determined that he wasn't a very good candidate. I think that Don Bivens, who is the other Democratic candidate for Senate, is an excellent candidate. Don is very well known in the Democratic ranks. He's the former state chairman of the Democratic Party, has a network all over the state. I really think that Carmona is in way over his head here. I don't know about the baggage part, but I would say that Bivens is, frankly, probably going to crush him in the primary. I just don't think that Rich Carmona has the temperament nor the knowledge nor, frankly, the ability to be highly competitive in this race. But, you know, we'll see. That's just my opinion. I think Bivens is the far better candidate for the Democrats, but God bless him. That's what primaries are all about, and I could be proven wrong.
So John thinks that Bivens would crush Carmona in a primary against Rebaca.
Well, you know, I'm not going to, you know, they're both Democrats, so I'm not choosing one over the other, but I certainly, you can never underscore how much a national profile brings to a race. And the reality is when you have name ID already as being the U.S. Surgeon General, when you have a record as a SWAT team member, a doctor, search and rescue, Green Beret veteran, who's actually saved lives, not only as a doctor, but there was an incident where he actually had to shoot an individual who was threatening people with a gun.
He was on his way to a U of A football game.
Yeah, I mean, that's a compelling personal story he brings to the race. And what I would say, and I did read that article where Bruce Ash had commented and said that he didn't think he was a good candidate, that he purportedly had a history of difficult relationships, and that he was somewhat of a maverick. And I thought about that, and I said, well, that sounds like John McCain, our current U.S. senator. But if you call, you know, bucking the Bush administration when it comes to politicizing medical policy, which is what happened when he was Surgeon General, that shows an independent streak. That's not a history of a difficult relationship, but that shows an independent streak. And a third of the Arizona voters are independents. So, you know, running as a Democrat, if he can appeal to the independents and to the Democrats, I mean, that's a powerful voting block there. And I think the fact that he is not beholden to one party actually speaks to his independence. And I think a lot of voters are going to find that attractive.
John?
Well, there's an argument to be made for that. I know Rich. I like him personally. I just don't think he's cut out for politics, and I don't think that he will be a particularly good candidate. Don't know about the baggage, but I do think that he's got very little base to run from, and I think Bivens. My main point is you juxtapose him against Don Bivens, and I think Don Bivens is going to be far better financed and far better organized. I think Bivens is going to be very tough to beat. He will have the Phoenix money. Bivens is from Phoenix. He'll have the Phoenix money. He'll have the Phoenix organization, and it's going to be tough. That's all.
Let's move on to the vote of last week. Democrats seem to be, Vince Rabago, energized. For the first time in 20 years, Democratic mayors will be in Phoenix and Tucson, and the Democratic Party also has been arguing that Tuesday's recall of State Senate President Russell Pierce was evidence of a broader shift to the left that will reverberate in 2012. We'll get your views on that, Vince, and then we'll hear what John, see whether or not how he feels about that.
Well, I certainly do think that you're seeing a change in what people are doing at the ballot box. You know, first time, like you just mentioned, two mayors, you know, for over 20 years, they're both Democrats. You had a clean sweep for all the Democratic candidates in the city council race here in Tucson. And also what you saw in Phoenix that hasn't been mentioned here today is what had been traditionally held by a Republican, another city council seat going to a Democrat, Daniel Valenzuela in Phoenix, a firefighter. So if you combine that with what happened in Wisconsin, where you know, the Republicans were trying to get rid of unions and collective bargaining, and that went down overwhelmingly, and when you add to the mix something which was not a partisan race, but where you had a Republican, Jerry Lewis, take out arguably the most powerful Republican in the state of Arizona, and they're both conservative. So this was not a party line vote, and you see even Republicans making different choices in the races. And so I think when you add all of that up, and you add up sort of the angst amongst people with these Occupy Wall Street movements, people that are fed up with sort of the inequality that you're seeing in the political as well as the financial sectors, I think it does stand for change. And you're going to see a lot of energy going into these races this next year.
John, what do you think about
that? I think here's the way I see it. Of course, Tucson's mayor is going to be a Democrat. We had Bob Walkup,
a Republican.
A Republican, only because he ran originally against Molly McCaffin, who was such a terrible option that that we elected a Republican. But the Democrats outnumber the Republicans almost 2-1 in the city of Tucson. The Republicans sank a whole lot of money in this last race in Tucson, trying to pick up one or more seats, and they didn't pick up any. It's just the system is so rigged. We're using the political system in the city of Tucson that was used to discriminate against the blacks in the Deep South.
Here we go again.
Well, let me finish, please, Vince.
I just wanted to say
again. It's a system where you have a tyranny of the majority, where the same majority elects everybody, just as they did in the South to keep the blacks out, so they didn't let the blacks elect anybody from their own districts, because there wasn't any district election, just as there isn't in Tucson. So, you know, that's no surprise. In the city of Phoenix, I mean, we had a Democratic mayor before. So electing, and Phoenix is the same way. The Democrats vastly outnumber the Republicans in the city of Phoenix. So I'm not surprised to see another Democratic mayor in the city of Phoenix. With regard to I don't see any sea change going on in Arizona. With regard to Russell Pierce, you know, Russell Pierce, the guy that replaced him is every bit as conservative as Russell Pierce. And so that isn't the issue. Is conservatism, the ideology, is not the issue. The issue there was that Russell Pierce had some personal baggage, and he was replaced by another avowed conservative. So I don't see how the Democrats get any inspiration from that race. With regard to the Ohio races, you know, all that happened there was that While the people of Ohio voted overwhelmingly to reject Obamacare and the individual mandate of Obamacare, they did uphold or did defeat the Republican program of limiting collective bargaining for unions at the local level. The problem there, what made that different than Wisconsin, was that in Ohio, they had made the mistake of including police and fire in the unions that were prohibited from collective bargaining on salaries. They never should have included police and fire. Had they included only the teachers and non-police and fire, that thing probably would have passed just the way it had in Wisconsin. I think that was a tactical error by trying to include police and fire. But the same public that rejected that overwhelmingly voted against the individual mandate of Obamacare. So I just don't see a major sea change going on. I understand Vince wants to take inspiration from that, and God bless him, that he's entitled to. I just personally don't see it.
Okay, John, we're going to have to pick it up after the break. John and Vince with us with the Monday Political Face-Off. It will continue on the Buckmaster Show. It is a Monday. It's 12:19 on the Buckmaster Show. Stay with us.
The RT RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit services, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection of Alvernon and Valencia and Camino Seco to Houghton along Speedway Boulevard. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our citizens realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and create a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in and support of education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's Pima Community College students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a literate, prosperous, thriving Tucson and Pima County. During these extraordinarily tough times, our funding is in serious jeopardy. And as budgets get even tighter, we'll have to cut back services just when people need us the most. So please support us in our ongoing effort to build a better tomorrow. Help us provide the education and resources that the people of Pima County need today. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us on the web at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
With 2 out of 3 people in this country overweight, you're not alone in wanting to shed some pounds. Now you can lose 5 to 15% of your body weight in just 6 weeks using Dr. Gahn's Diet of Hope. The physician-supervised program created by renowned Tucson cardiologist Dietmar Gahn and certified nutrition counselor Elizabeth Gahn. To learn more about Dr. Gahn's Diet of Hope, call 696-DIET or log on to dietofhope.org.
Vero Amore presents Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza using fresh, homemade mozzarella and the finest quality toppings. Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero Amore. Casual yet upscale dining with an extensive boutique wine list. Vero Amore in Tucson on North Swan at Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at veroamorepizza.com. And now in Oro Valley, Noble Hops, the Tucson area's first gastro pub.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is one of Southern Arizona's crown jewels. You will find that the services and amenities offered at Splendido rival those of a fine resort. But what sets Splendido apart is a continuum of health care that allows for a full life today, knowing tomorrow is secure. As a true continuing care retirement community, Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoAZ.net.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
It's 12:23 on the Buckmaster Show. It is the Monday Political Face-Off brought to you by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985. Moe specializes in custom frame mirrors. He has beautiful mirrors, art for your wall, picture framing, and hanging services and systems. Moe's is located next to Copenhagen at Fort Lowell and Dodge and at moesgallery.com. Vince Robago is with me in studio, and John Munger is with me on the Buckmaster Show live line. Vince, we just heard John dismissing some of the results from Tuesday's election, nothing really out of the ordinary, I think, to characterize what John was saying. What do you say to that?
I could not disagree more. And you know, John's a lawyer, I'm a lawyer, and it kind of reminded me, actually, when I was a state prosecutor, sometimes you'd have a guilty man that you were prosecuting. Obviously, you always had a guilty man when you were prosecuting, but the defense attorney would come up and defend a guilty man and say, look at this piece of evidence. There's really nothing to see about this evidence. Oh, look at this other piece of evidence, like the murder weapon. Oh, there's nothing to see about this piece of evidence. And they would go down line by line, trying to split hairs and look at each piece individually and say, there's nothing really surprising or unusual about that. They're not guilty. They're not guilty at all. And it kind of reminded me of that because, you can take each little piece and try to provide an explanation for them, which on its face sounds reasonable. But the reality is, the big picture, there is a change that is coming. And I would like to focus in particular, in reality, aside from these electoral wins, like the clean sweep on the council races and all this other stuff, all you hear on the other side is this sort of tired claim that this is a discriminatory rigged system. You know, people, they threw a lot of that mud in this election and voters rejected it because it's baloney. The reality is, when you look, and then if you separate away these claims about the city council races and you look at the Russell Pierce race, the reality is every single powerful Republican in the state virtually lined up to support Russell Pierce. And it's not a question of ideology, but it's the question of politics and the policies that the Republican leadership has been pushing the state. And that was epitomized by Russell Pierce. And when you have a lot of Republicans all there in conservative, Mesa, coming out and supporting a new person who's never held public office, who's been involved, though, in the community and saying, we want change.
So you say it is a
change. Absolutely, because
change.
You see Republicans that were supporting, coming out wholeheartedly in Mesa, voting for a new face to represent them in their district, and obviously making the big change at the top of the Republican Party in the state of Arizona, knocking out Russell Pierce because of his extremist rhetoric and policies that he was pushing. He went over the top. He overreached. And that's what the Republican Party has been doing. And you see the voters coming back the other way. And you're going to see more and more of that because voters don't want crazy extremes on either side. They want policies about jobs and the economy.
Go ahead, John.
Here's the problem with that argument is they elected a rock-solid conservative. So their problem wasn't the ideology. Their problem was Russell Pierce. And, if they had rejected conservatism, they would not have elected Lewis. The fact of the matter is that I just have a hard time seeing it was anything other than about Russell Pierce's personal baggage in that race. And with regard to the city of Tucson, I mean, it's indisputable that the city of Tucson electoral system is a tyranny of the majority. There is no ability of any independent of any district in the city of or ward in the city of Tucson to elect its own representative. So, basically, the same center city majority in Tucson elects each and every mayor as well as each and every ward representative, councilman. So the result is, and that's the way the Democratic Party used to run elections before it was made illegal in the South to make sure the blacks were represented. In this case, the minority are Republicans, and that's why, incidentally, the city of Tucson refuses to annex any of the Republicans in the foothills. You watch them. Why aren't they annexing the rest of the valley? And the reason is there's just too many of those darn Republicans out there. I mean, the facts speak for themselves on that, and Vince could say whatever he wants.
Okay.
Those are the facts. I will tell you that the big problem is in this country, and I think what tells the story most is that 72% of the public in the country thinks the country's headed the wrong direction under President Obama.
Okay, here's Vince.
I think
that's more indicative than anything else.
Let me respond and first about Russell Pierce. The reality is Russell Pierce's policies, not just him in terms of his ideology. That's a different question because you can have a different ideology, but if your policies are what you're trying to put into action or whether it's getting rejected, and that's what the voters are rejecting. They want a different course for this state. Now, this sort of hogwash about comparing the poor Republicans to a people that were enslaved in the South. It's just so over the top that I almost, I'm embarrassed to have to respond to
I'm
that.
I'm not comparing those people.
You just did, John. You just did. So let me respond back to you on that front. The reality is we've had a Republican mayor in Tucson for years, I think three terms. We had, prior to that, you had
30 seconds.
Two Republicans that were in office that got voted out in 2005, just as recently as 2005. You had a incumbent Democrat get knocked off by Mr. Kozachik. So all of those arguments are baloney because Republicans can win, but their ideas are not winning. That's what's happening. And you're seeing a sea change coming forward right now. You're going to see it keep rolling over, and you're going to see Obama win in 2012.
10 seconds, John, really quick.
The problem with that whole thing is when the Democrats – I would hardly be celebrating your great victories, Vince, when you outnumber us 2-1 in the city. I don't think that's a particularly – convincing win. Of course you won.
Gotta go.
After nearly $1 million by the Republicans, I'm happy to cheer on.
All right. Vince and John, thank you very much. Both of you have a great afternoon.
Thank you.
Thanks. The Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985. Moe's specializing in custom frame mirrors, art for your wall, picture framing and hanging services and hanging systems. Our thanks to Vince Ribago and John Munger, today's commentators on our Monday Political Face-Off. Coming up next, Bill Carnegie with the Community Food Bank. That's next on the Buckmaster Show.
SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. The Supreme Court's expected to rule by late June on the constitutionality of the health care law that requires Americans to buy health insurance or pay a penalty. The court says it will hear more than 5 hours of arguments on the case in March. The mayor of Oakland, California, says demonstrators will be allowed to go back to the plaza where they have been camped out for weeks, but they won't be able to spend the night there. Gene Kwan says no camping is allowed. Police made more than 20 arrests when they swept through the encampment before dawn, removing all of the tents that had been pitched at that site. Stocks have been lowered today on Wall Street. Investors reminded of the work that still must be done to contain Europe's debt crisis. Right now, the Dow is down about 102 points. More details at srnnews.com.
Ever notice how much time you spend just getting where you want to go? Travel hassles, long drives, expensive parking can all ruin your trip and create a miserable experience. Tucson International Airport has the answer. With close, easy parking, quick check-in, a short walk to your gate, and airport amenities that make traveling stress-free and enjoyable. With nonstop destinations and connections around the world for business or for pleasure, fly TucsonAirport.com. It's the way to go.
Let Karimi Oriental Rugs keep your valuable area rugs looking like new with Tucson's finest cleaning, repair, and restoration services. Karimi specializes in restoring antique, silk, and Navajo rugs with 100% satisfaction guarantee. Karimi Oriental Rugs appraises and purchases quality rugs and offers a vast selection of hand-woven rugs from around the world. Be sure to stop by Karimi Oriental Rugs at Fort Lowland Dodge or on the web at KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
Since 1959, Assistance League of Tucson has helped thousands of disadvantaged men, women, and children in the Tucson area. Donated items, thrift shop proceeds, volunteer hours, and financial gifts help support our philanthropic programs like Operation School Bell. Your generosity continues to change lives in our community. For more information on how you, too, can make a difference, visit us at AssistanceLeagueTucson.org. Assistance League of Tucson, volunteers working together.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
A
simple solution to foot and lower back problems could be a top-quality, custom-made foot orthotic created by Bob Novak. A certified pet orthist, Bob is the best in Southern Arizona in the creation of the right foot support that your body needs and at a price you can afford. Please give Bob Novak a call, 795-2553, or visit him at Arizona Limb and Brace, Rosemont and Fifth Street. Your feet will thank you every day.
It's 12:34 on the Buckmaster Show, the Monday edition. We're always live here noon to 1, Monday through Friday, on our home station, KVOI AM 1030, the voice, Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station. Then our simulcast partners listening to us in Globe and in Douglas. We figure about 8 of Arizona's 15 counties pick up the Buckmaster Show. And of course, now with our expanded reach on the website at the TucsonCitizen.com and TucsonSentinel.com and, of course, BuckmasterShow.com, there are all sorts of opportunities for people to listen to what we are doing here on the Buckmaster Show. Do you believe Thanksgiving is 1 week from Thursday? And as you prepare for the big meal, many less fortunate in Southern Arizona will have to do without holiday food boxes provided by the Food Bank of Southern Arizona. Joining us in studio on the Buckmaster Show is Bill Carnegie. Mr. Carnegie is the Chief Executive Officer of the Food Bank of Southern Arizona. Bill, good to see you.
Bill, nice to see you. Thanks for having me on the show.
How long have you been in the food business?
I've personally been in the food banking business about 22 years. The food bank here has been in existence for 35 years.
And have you ever seen a situation that is awaiting you as you go to work at the community food bank?
No, really, this is about the worst situation that I've seen in my career. And, and I even was involved with the Katrina response. And, I think that we're kind of facing a perfect storm here in Southern Arizona.
And how did this happen?
Well, there's a few things that happened, Bill. The economy in general, first of all, there's so many people out of work now. 4 years ago, we were assisting about 98,000 people a month. Today, it's 240,000 men, women, and children. Many of our neighbors, and we don't really recognize those people. It could be the family next door. But on top of that, donations have been kind of slow, and I think that's primarily because of the economy as well. We're down a little over 1 million pounds of food in our warehouse right now compared to where we were a year ago.
1 million pounds?
Over 1 million pounds of food, less in our warehouse right now. We've been informed by the U.S. Department of Agriculture that we're going to be receiving about 100 semi-truckloads of food less this year than last year. So that's 3 to 4 million pounds of food we're not going to have. And there's talk, it hasn't, nothing settled yet, but they're talking about cutting us about $1 million in administrative fees annually. So it's kind of that perfect storm that I mentioned earlier. It's just that there's a lot of things that are not working in our favor right now at a time when demand has never been higher.
790-2040, 790-2040 is the Buckmaster Show live line. If you have any questions, concerns, or comments about the Community Food Bank, why don't you join in the conversation? There's a great opportunity for you to join Bill Carnegie, who is the CEO at the Community Food Bank of Southern Arizona. And you did change the name. It used to be Community Food Bank of Tucson. But, Bill, this program, as I was mentioning just a few moments ago, is heard all over from one end of Southern Arizona to the other, and the Community Food Bank has expanded what you're doing outside of the city of Tucson.
Right, yeah. So we actually serve all of Pima, Santa Cruz, Cochise, Graham, and Greenlee counties. Now, the populations aren't as great in those other counties, certainly, than what's in Pima. And about 90% of our business is in primarily the city of Tucson. But there's certainly, great need out there in the rural communities. And I know that you're broadcasting in Douglas. And
we are out of KAPR are, and how do people in Cochise County use your services?
Well, we have a rural distribution program, so we're in almost every city and, you know, across all the counties that we serve. And there's, you know, we're partnered with the food bank down there in Douglas, and they do a great job distributing our food as well.
This is the Buckmaster Show, 790-2040. Bill Carnegie is with me from the Community Food Bank. Bill, I'm going to ask you to slip on this headset here so we can go to the Buckmaster Show live line where we have Daniel waiting. Go ahead, Daniel. You're with Bill and Bill.
Hi, Bill and Bill. I generally, at this time of year, Christmas and Thanksgiving, give quite a bit of food to the Salvation Army down below Speedway there. And that's a private organization. I don't understand whether you're a government organization or private or along those lines. Which would be better for me to give to which group?
Okay, thank you, Daniel.
Daniel, thank you for your call. It's really what the Community Food Bank is, a private nonprofit. We do receive government food, and the Salvation Army is one of our partners. So as far as I'm concerned, you know, please give to whatever organization you would like to, especially when it comes to hunger. We would prefer to get that food to people as quickly as we can. It doesn't really do any good sitting on a shelf somewhere. It needs to be in people's hands.
Let me ask you, Bill Carnegie, we mentioned the USDA, the food items have really slowed dramatically. And why is the USDA cutting back to, it's not just the Community Food Bank of Southern Arizona, but other food banks, right?
Right.
All across the country?
Or? Bill, it's really a national problem. And what's happened is they've been cutting back on their subsidies programs under the Farm Bill, where they would buy up surplus grain products or vegetables and can those and make them available to food banks. Well, they're reducing their expenses, so they're not doing that as much anymore. And there's also the government has pretty much used up all of their surplus supplies of food in regard to the war effort. So, you know, there's more food going, or maybe not more food, but there's less resources available here as surplus items that need to go to the war effort.
Let's talk a little bit about the holiday food boxes. That's been a staple of the food bank, and now you're saying there really won't be the food available for the holiday food box?
Right. We actually typically purchase the holiday food items early in the spring when they're available. And this last spring, we didn't have the funds to do it. We don't get enough of those types of items donated. So this year that we're not going to have any special holiday boxes for November or December. We just can't afford to do it. And really, the people of this community, though, they are more generous than any place that I have ever lived. There's just not enough food out there to be able to make these boxes.
790-2040, 790-2040. If you would like to make a comment, you have a concern or a question for Bill Carnegie of the Community Food Bank, now would be the time to touch base with Mr. Carnegie. Where can folks donate now to the food bank?
The easiest way to do it is, look at our website, different drop-off locations. This Thursday, we're going to be at the Sunflower Market at 1st and Limberlost from 5 in the morning till 7 p.m. doing a big food drive out there, and TEP is involved with that, and they're going to match every cash donation made at that site that day. So it's a great opportunity if you live up in that part of the world or work up there to stop by and make a contribution of either, you know, food or funds. It's great. But you can also go to our website and, you know, find out about volunteer opportunities, also, you know, donating food to different sites, and you can actually make an online contribution there as well.
So if you take away the USDA and the produce food donations they make, the total number of donate or the total amount of food coming in, if you take away the USDA, is it about on par with last year?
We're actually going to receive less than what we did last year. We're expecting last year we distributed 30 million pounds of food. We expect, we're only going to have 25 million pounds available over the next year. So it's going to be a challenge, especially since the number of people seeking assistance is going up every month.
As far as people who want to get involved with the food bank, I know that volunteers really are an important part of your organization. Tell us about that.
Well, they are. And, Bill, we use volunteers in every aspect of our business, you know, helping us open the mail, making phone calls.
You don't
calls.
Have a lot of overhead, I think you're trying
no,
to
No. We don't have a lot of overhead. Out of every dollar donated, 97 cents go to program costs. So we're, you know, really highly efficient organization. We have a 4-star Charity Navigator rating, which is, I believe, our third or fourth year in a row. So we're in the top 7% of nonprofits in the United States in that regard. But volunteers are critical to what we do.
But you do have space for the food. That's not the big problem right now, right?
Right. And if we were sitting in the warehouse right now, we would probably have a little bit of an echo.
There would be there's that much.
Yes.
The cupboard is bare to that extent. Is there some particular food items that you would like people to donate this holiday season?
We're always looking for peanut butter, low sugar cereals, canned vegetables, canned fruits. And really, when it comes to it, it's anything that your listeners might use in their own home. Other things like deodorant, toothpaste, things like that, people can't use their food stamps for it, and they're expensive, and we all need them. So, you know, just think about what you use in your own home and think about dropping those off. And we're also doing a food drive right now at all the City of Tucson fire stations. So there's convenient food drop-off sites everywhere.
Bill Carnegie has been with us from the Community Food Bank. The big shortage by really over 1 million pounds from a year ago because of this reduction in USDA and produce food donations. So that's a huge hit to the Community Food Bank of Southern Arizona. And again, you do serve everywhere where we're listening in the Buckmaster Show. You're in Cochise County. You're in Santa Cruz County.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep, we have a facility in Nogales.
Okay, so if anybody needs assistance, are there a lot of forms to fill out, or are there no questions?
No. You just show up and prove that you have to prove that you reside in the state of Arizona. But I just want to add one thing: every dollar, every can makes a difference. So don't think that you can't help.
Okay, thank you so much, Bill Carnegie. It's been a pleasure. Good luck, and I hope you have a great Thanksgiving season. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Bill, and same to you.
Okay, Bill Carnegie from the Community Food Bank. They do a great job over there at the Community Food Bank of Southern Arizona. Help these folks out. 12:46 coming up now on the Buckmaster Show. Stay with us.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit services, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection of Alvernon and Valencia and Camino Seco to Houghton along Speedway Boulevard. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Listed on the National Register of Historic Places and founded by Isabella Greenway, Arizona's first congresswoman, the Arizona Inn is still the standard bearer for luxury hospitality in Midtown Tucson, just minutes from the University of Arizona. Founded in 1930, the Arizona Inn continues to win top honors for hospitality and dining. Travel and Leisure magazine names the Arizona Inn one of the top 500 hotels in the world for 2011. And the Arizona Inn is proud of its AAA 4-diamond status for both the hotel and dining room. Whether it's for breakfast, lunch, or dinner, or a private event, you can count on Chef Allison's featured seasonal culinary creations to please. The Arizona Inn, a special oasis of hospitality in Midtown Tucson, 2200 East Elm, and on the web at arizonainn.com.
Want to lose weight? You're not alone. 2 out of 3 people in this country are now overweight. Using Dr. Gahn's Diet of Hope, created by renowned cardiologist Dietmar Gahn, you could lose 5 to 15% of your body weight in just 6 weeks. The program teaches proper nutrition and uses no drugs or artificial foods. Most insurance is accepted. To learn more, visit dietofhope.org or call 696-DIET.
Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero More, Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza, topped with the finest, freshest quality ingredients. Enjoy casual yet upscale dining while sampling our extensive boutique wine list. Vero More in Tucson at North Swan and Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at veromorepizza.com. And now open in Oro Valley, Noble Hops, the Tucson area's first gastro pub.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is a very special place, offering a continuum of health care in a resort atmosphere. Splendido received two 2007 Best of 50 Plus Housing Awards from the National Association of Home Builders for overall best continuing care retirement community and interior design. Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoAZ.net.
Everyone's piling on big banks nowadays, with good reason. But still, you're skeptical about moving your money. We get it, but let's think about that. If you're worried about convenience, Pyramid Federal Credit Union has local branches and thousands of fee-free ATMs nationwide. If you're worried about service, at Pyramid, you're a member. At big banks, you're a number. There's a difference. And if you're worried about savings, Pyramid Federal Credit Union has better rates and fewer fees than big banks. Like our great low 4.5% APR on new, used, or refinanced vehicle loans with terms up to 60 months. Plus, save another 0.25% with payment options. So Pyramid wins on convenience, service, and savings. If you're still skeptical about moving your money, try us out. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life. Visit pyramidfcu.com to learn how. 4.5% APR on vehicle loans for a limited time. Restrictions may apply. Membership eligibility required. NCUA insured.
$12.50 on the Buckmaster Show, 790-2040, our Buckmaster Show live line. Now we're going to talk education on the Buckmaster Show, as we do at least once a month. In an article titled, When Will We Learn?, Time Magazine's Fareed Zakaria says, education is the engine of social mobility, and it is sputtering. According to Mr. Zakaria, we Americans have two options to improve our schools: accept a lower standard of living, or make them better. Joining us on the Buckmaster Show is our contributor on education, Dr. Robert Hendricks, Associate Professor Emeritus at the University of Arizona College of Education. He's former head of the Department of Educational Policy Studies and Practice and taught organizational theory, human resource management, and policy analysis at the master's and doctoral level. The former superintendent of the Flowing Wells School District, Dr. Hendricks, was Arizona's top school superintendent in 1989, and he's over the jet lag after his trip to China. Good to see you, Bob.
I am, and this is a very timely subject, Bill.
About how the foreign countries are doing so much better than we are.
Yeah, I've spent the last 3 weeks totally immersed in secondary schools in Nanjing, China, and I can tell you that the Chinese students put in a very, very long day, particularly when we compare it to our American standards. I mean, it is very common for the Chinese high school student to begin at 7:30 in the morning, and they're getting home at 9 o'clock at night.
Whoa.
And then they pick themselves up on Saturday morning and go to school for another half day. So, you know, part of the question and what's suggested in this article is time an important factor in how much students learn? We know that that is, you know, one of the correlates, that is one of the important things, and that our students are spending probably a third of the amount of time, or maybe a little bit more, a third amount of time that students are in some Asian countries. And, you know, China typifies, you know, other countries in Asia, South Korea, as well as Japan, who have much, much longer school days.
I want to read you an article, a paragraph from this article, When Will We Learn, from Time Magazine, saying, today California's public schools are a disaster, beset by dysfunction and disrepair. They rank at the bottom of the country, just as the United States now sits at the bottom of the industrialized world by most measures of educational achievement. The World Economic Forum ranks the United States education system 26th in the world, well behind those of countries like Germany, Finland, the Netherlands, Denmark, Canada, and Singapore. In science and math, the score has even been worse. So we've been talking about this, I guess, for three decades in America, and things don't seem to be improving.
It's a dismal report card, and actually the last wake-up call I think this country had in regard to science and math was during the Russian Sputnik time, when President Kennedy said, we can do better, and they infused a great deal of money into science and math training for teachers. And, you know, one of the questions that we always have is that, you know, if we're going to have dismal scores in math and science, then we're also going to have ill-prepared adults to teach students. And we have this sort of self-fulfilling prophecy that that this spiral continues to evolve and that we're really not going to get much better. The Chinese, on the other hand, you know, talk about our system with great reverence.
Why is that?
Well, you know, one of the questions that was posed to me, and it's a frequent question, is if we're doing so well in China, why do we have no Nobel Prize winners? And it's an interesting question, Bill, because as I sit in classrooms, and as I said, I sat in many classrooms, what I find is in these Chinese classrooms of 60 students plus, mostly rote memorization. Mm. Yes, they do know the facts. Yes, in many cases, they probably know operational skills in math and science better than many American high school students. But what is abundantly and clearly missing from Chinese classrooms are those higher-level thinking skills, the problem-solving, the creativity, the kinds of things that that we cherish, and the kinds of things that create the next Steve Jobs or Bill Gates.
One of the things about this article, I had no idea that in Finland, which apparently they have great teachers, they're paid well and treated with the same professional respect that is accorded to doctors and lawyers. And only one in 10 applicants actually is accepted into the teaching corps in Finland, and they all have to have master's degrees.
Well, it's impressive that that they respect the profession of teaching in a way that I think we can only hope for that to happen. But Finland's also a small country.
Yes.
It's also, there's a lot of homogeneity in its population. And actually, the time they spend in the classroom over the course of a year is not much more than in the American system, which would argue, you know, is time that important of a factor? In fact, the Chinese professorate are beginning to argue maybe in China we're spending too much time in the classroom, and that our youngsters are not experiencing a balance of life where they have a chance to experience more leisure time, more social time, more time for competitive sports, other activities. Whereas in our culture, you know, the balance is important, and perhaps it's not really a balance. Some would say, you know, we spend more time with the leisurely activities and not enough time on the academics.
Did the students have much interaction with the professor? You say the student size was about 60.
Very little interaction.
They're basically listening for so they can recite the facts that they're hearing from the professor.
That's correct. And one of the things I always look for in classroom observations is, are the same students being called on all the time? And my experience was that there was a handful of students that were always standing, because you stand to answer. It was always the same students. And there were a number of students who I would say were mentally disengaged. That's a guess on my part. Physically, they're there, but mentally disengaged. And so, and everything is ultimately geared towards a final test their last year. And that determines, you know, what the next step in their life is going to be.
The final test, I assume, if you don't pass the final test, you're in trouble.
You're going to be working in the service industry. Yes. And or you might be working in a factory or something of that nature. The other ironic thing is that the Chinese professors tell me that once students are successful in high school on that test, they go into a university system which is far less rigorous. And they speak about university systems as being more rigorous and more prestigious. And, you know, the goal would be to be able to go to an American university of some stature and some repute.
Robert Hendricks, Bob Hendricks, thanks for being with us on the Buckmaster Show. Have a great afternoon.
Okay, thank you.
12:59 of the Buckmaster Show, brought to you in part by Flowers, Rieger & Associates Certified Public Accountants, 2919 East Broadway, and on the web at flowersrieger.com. Tomorrow we'll be talking about, is civility in politics even, I mean, is it realistic? Plus our Tuesday Money Maker Report with Shelley Fishman and Margaret Regan, the Tucson Weekly's arts editor, and now also the Buckmaster Show arts editor with her bi-monthly arts report. That's going to do it today. Have a great afternoon. See you tomorrow at noon on KVOI, The Voice.
KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. 9:30 KAPR Douglas, and 1240 KJAA Globe, the Voice Radio Network.